Can you hear that?
I heard a tiny bit of a whooshing sound once, I think.
Oh, that's funny. My child has learned how to scream.
Oh, that's what that was. Okay. Yep. Yeah, it definitely could have been a heavily gated scream.
Yep.
In a different room.
Yep, he has officially found his screaming, shrieky sound. Yep.
That seems rad.
It's great. The best thing you can do is not acknowledge it, which truly destroys my spirit.
Seems rad.
Yep.
It's good that you got all the sound barrier yourself recently.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that
already
was
coming in handy.
That was through the floor, what you heard. That is directly below me.
That's even more impressive.
Yeah, yeah. Hello, and welcome to Codex. It's a casual lore podcast. My name is Phil.
I'm Logan.
And today, I don't know if we've completely talked about what this one is about, but it is server related.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a few bugs, I guess, in the old school RuneScape history.
Okay, so this bugs, is more of an IRL lore?
Yes. I would say yes. It's going to be a mix of IRL lore and some technical details. And this is actually going to be a good hinge point into the eventual Falador Massacre.
Okay.
So all this right. is kind of a standalone preparatory sort of thing that'll get us into like the weird spaghetti nonsense that is RuneScape.
All right. And Falador Massacre is a future episode drop that is literally in the works. So we will do that one.
It's been in the works since before we started recording anything the first time ever, I think.
This is true.
Like, that was on the list. Hey, maybe we'll put that out in October. Wouldn't that be funny? And it's all October already. It's so, you know.
We'll get it there.
Yeah, yeah.
But before we get into all of that, do you have a bright spot for us?
I do. Do you remember that desk lamp that I picked up a while ago? The real industrial one.
Yeah, the 70-pound one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I have two now.
Oh no. Okay. Does this one work?
I don't know. I haven't picked it up. It says it does. Well, I would expect that it will. Yeah.
Okay, so this is still an auction site find that we have to gather.
Same place. Going back to get this one, hopefully in a couple days here. I hadn't checked those in a while, and there was one there. I got it for like, I don't know, $30 or something. Like slightly more than I paid for the last one, but still a very reasonable amount for an expensive table lamp.
Yeah, that's fun. Is this in preparation of your upcoming move? Now you have more rooms. You have more rooms that need lamp.
No, I can at least justify having more lamps now. I think mostly, I mean, I just really like that lamp. It's a real cool thing.
Yeah, okay.
I like simple and competent machines, and that is one of them. But now I don't feel bad about maybe modifying one from fluorescent tubes to LED.
Yeah, that's where I thought this was going. Now you have a backup so you can tinker.
Exactly. I would feel kind of bummed out if I like ruined my only cool lamp. So
yeah, so that's now that's I can exciting. Ruin
half my cool lamps.
Yeah, good job.
So yeah, the Dazor 2324 is the model. If anyone out there is looking for a good industrial lamp and doesn't mind looking through antique stores or paying like $400 for a new one,
or just find your local state auction website that is selling off
and hope.
Yeah.
How about you?
What is my bright spot? Oh, I finished my race. I did it. I ran 13.1 miles in their entirety.
All at once, even.
All at once. It was a beautiful day. It was like low 60s and sunny, and it was beautiful New England fall colors, and half of the race was along like highways that had beautiful scenic overlooks, so I only had to suffer going up and down the hills and not look at the ocean half the time. So, you know, that was good. And then at the end, I got a cookie, which is all you can hope for putting your body through that.
You've never worked harder for a cookie in your life.
Yeah.
You had a good sharing section, from what I recall.
Yes. Yeah. That was good. There's a really good sign next to me that my wife made. I did not know what it was, but it is the cover of Go Dog Go, but it says Go Dad Go, which is real good. That's going in a poster frame, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah. I ran the race. I finished it, and now I have plenty of time to contemplate if I will ever do it again.
That's kind of the rub after one of those, I feel like.
It really is.
Yep. I did the thing, so now is this a thing I do, or do I never do this again?
Yeah, I finished it, and then I like went back into the app that I use to do all my training runs and like plan it all out and everything. And I said, "Hey, good job, you finished your race. Here's some other things you can do. You could just do the cool down, which is a 3 week, do like 7 miles total, and you'll feel good." And then it pops up in the little bar under there. Do you want to do a full marathon now? And that one's a no from me. But it did put the, do you want to do another half marathon? And we think that if we give you some more time, you could shave at least 20 minutes off of that time that you had. And now I become a weird score chase person, but literally for my legs. And I'm not sure if I'm there yet, but I think given a month or two, I will probably be there again.
That's like a chase within a chase.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now I'm gearing up for a 5K turkey trot, because that seems like the lowest barrier run in the winter. And then we'll see from there. But yeah, that is my bright spot. I ran the race. I finished it.
Huzzah.
I have a medal that is in the shape of Massachusetts, which is not great, but you know, what can you do?
What are you going to do? You'd have to move if you wanted a different shape medal. And that seems like a whole thing.
It is better than Colorado. You know, at least it's identifiable as a state, not just here's a square.
Generic square. Yeah.
Sorry to all of our Colorado listeners, but your state is a square. That doesn't mean that you are, but your state is.
But you live in one.
Yeah.
Speaking of living in squares, let's talk about this game that I originally played on a square monitor.
Nice.
And other forced transitions.
Perfect.
So we are going to cover some bugs and primarily server rollbacks.
Okay.
Because that's a whole thing. And while I was preparing this episode, another one happened, which is kind of wild because they are pretty rare. There's only been a handful ever.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Like, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 8.
Eight in like almost 20 years, 15 years.
Let's see. That is in old school RuneScape. Of course, I had the wrong notes up. This launched. I wrote this down somewhere. Oh, there it is. Game launched February of 2013.
Yeah, okay, so 11 years.
Yeah.
Less rollbacks than years in action.
And the first one didn't occur until July of 2018.
Huh, okay.
So those first 5 years were rollback free. Some of that
only broke the game a little bit in those 7 years.
That's exactly it, because they didn't add that much. Like the first chunk of time, nothing was really changing at all. And it's, you know, easier to make sure you don't break the game when you're only making minor changes and small content additions. It's when you start doing big stuff and changing like foundational mechanics that things can get weird.
Sure. Yeah. Can you explain what a server rollback is?
Yes. From my understanding, the way... where do we start with this? So there are different servers that you can play on. Each will hold 2,000, up to 2,000 players. So they're all doing the same thing. It's just different game states between those different servers. So like shop inventories can be different. Like you can, if someone buys all the runes in one server, that doesn't affect any of the other ones. But if they, you know, hop over to the next world and buy all from there, then obviously that would. So it's just a way to like segment up the game, so not everyone's playing all on the same piece of hardware at the same time.
Okay.
That is all done on Jagex's end, the server, and that interacts with the game client that's on your machine. So your computer talks to the server, and the server talks to Jagex, and that's kind of how everything happens.
Mm-hmm.
A rollback is what occurs when something real bad happens and Jagex decides to quite literally turn back time and resolve things to a state in the past.
Okay. So it's basically save scumming a world state in
exactly.
A way.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. But for everybody, everywhere, all at once.
And that's like...
So save scum 100,000 people at a time.
Yeah, so it like rolls back all of your inventory and stuff too, right?
Kind of, yes. Okay. So some things happen on the server end and some things happen on the client side. And if you think about like everything that could be happening in this game, of where your player's located, how much health you have, do you have any stat boosts, what's in your inventory, are you attacking someone, are you being attacked, are you poisoned, what's in your bank, all of those variables have to exist somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tried to update every single one of those for every single person on every single game tick, I think you would just start a fire somewhere, like an actual fire. Something would melt.
Yeah.
It would be real bad. So the way they resolve that is roughly every 15 minutes or so, a server takes a snapshot and updates all of those variables for everybody all at the same time. I'm not sure if that counter, that 15 minute timer is synced across every server or if it's offset. I'm pretty sure it's synced. I'm thinking about how some of these have gone. So every 15 minutes, it's going to update, you know, your inventory, everything else. Or if you log out, that also happens. All of your player stuff gets updated when you log out. So this can cause problems. This can cause a lot of problems in a couple different ways. Obviously, when the rollback happens, all of that time, anything that happened goes away. You lose whatever progress was made between the thing getting turned off and however far back in time the rollback is.
Right.
That's kind of the obvious downside. The less obvious downside interacts with that 15 minute timer. So let's say that you and I are playing and we know a rollback's going to happen 2 minutes from now. And it's going to go back, I don't know, 10 minutes in time. Or 20 minutes, we'll say 20 minutes, so we get past that 15 minute marker. If at the last 15 minute snapshot, you have 1 million gold in your inventory, that 15 minute snapshot happens, you have your 1 million gold, I have none, you then trade that gold over to me, mm-hmm. I immediately log out.
Oh,
So now my profile has the 1 million gold saved on Jagex's end.
Yeah.
And your profile has that same 1 million gold in that snapshot from a couple minutes ago. And if a rollback happens before your next snapshot, once we come back into the game from the server rollback, we will each have that 1 million gold.
Right. Huh. Okay. That's fun.
Yeah. So there have been issues that what that means is, like, if you can predict rollback or perhaps force a server crash, you can duplicate any item in the game that's tradable.
That's real good.
Yeah, it's real bad. I don't know if there's a great way around that yet. The best way to have that not happen is to, I mean, obviously not do rollbacks, but is to stop people from being able to initiate either server crashes or manual rollbacks themselves.
Yeah.
So there was that problem for a while.
Oh, that players were able to crash servers?
Yeah. Yeah. If you get enough people in a small enough space doing enough things, it would bring down just that specific server.
Which is enough that if you were also, like, if some of those things you were doing were potentially transferring wealth or items.
So that's kind of the like technical details of the rollback itself. There's two primary reasons that Jagex will decide to do a rollback. And this is actually, I think I sent you a graph the other day. I'm going to send it to you again in a minute here. So we're going to talk about the economy a little bit because it's me. What else would we be doing?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's two primary reasons rollbacks happen. Either something unintended happens with untradeable items, or something tragic happens to the economy. Untradeable items would be stuff that you typically unlock in game through some kind of a challenge or a feat of skill or a quest. Certain items are locked behind those types of requirements, and it's a really big deal for like PvP specifically, because certain items are locked behind certain quests that have specific requirements, which means you have to have a high enough combat level to get that item. So if you're a low combat level, there are certain items that you physically should not be able to have, and everyone knows that, so no one has to counterplay against those items because you shouldn't be able to get them on an account in that combat bracket.
Okay.
And suddenly if you have them, then that really,
that's a problem.
Breaks the meta.
Yeah.
That untradeable stuff doesn't happen too often. It's happened once or twice in glitches that I don't think we will get to today, or maybe ever, because I don't think they're particularly interesting. But the economy breaking one, this is what happens most often. We've kind of danced around the relationship between gold and like XP and time, I feel like.
Yes.
So I would like to give you a little bit clearer picture of that, because this will kind of explain why suddenly there being a lot of extra gold or someone having a lot of extra gold is problematic. So I'm going to send you a thing. Oh, I always like when I open up the chat here and I get to see whatever the hell we were doing last time.
Has some weird 2007 Sherlock Holmes screenshots.
Yeah. Guy just pointing a knife at somebody.
Yeah.
And here's my spreadsheet about prayer training that I'm going to send you. So I tried to pick an example of a skill that is pretty gold driven. To make this as easy as possible. So we're going to look at prayer.
Yep.
And this specific prayer method, you go to an altar in someone's house, typically, because it's the fastest, and you use a bone on the altar, and your guy does a little swoosh with his hands, and the bone disappears, and you get some XP. It's real straightforward.
Okay.
If you're staring at the screen, you can use each bone on the altar one at a time and do it kind of fast, and you get through them pretty quick. Or if you just use one, they'll automatically go every couple seconds on their own. And then you could, you know, walk away for a minute and come back, and then it's done. So on this chart, I have two scenarios for us here. The first one is going from level 43 to 77. Level 43 is where you unlock Protect from Melee. It's the protection prayers are kind of the key to any mid-level or end-level combat. Level 77 is where you kind of unlock the last useful prayer, we'll say, for shorthand. So it wouldn't be uncommon for someone to stop at 43 and then decide, okay, I'm going to go from 43 to 77 now and just have that knocked out so all the prayers are unlocked.
Okay.
So that's 1.4-ish million XP. I plugged in some of the most common bones that you would use for this method. And as you get better bones, they give you more XP, which means you need less of them overall.
Makes sense.
If you look at our big bones there, going from 43 to 77 is going to take you 27,148 big bones.
Yeah.
Which is a few. Big bones are dropped by like your hill giants, ice giants, fire giants. There are things besides giants that drop big bones that I can't remember right now. Probably ogres.
Yeah, other big things.
Yeah, big-ish things that aren't dragons.
Yeah, specifically not dragons.
Specifically not dragons. So that'll take roughly 1,045 trips you'll have, 26 bones in your inventory with this method at a time? Or, 10 and a half hours, give or take, of time, of, like, focused time to gain those levels. At a cost of, we'll call it, 9.5 million gold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks. I hate that.
That sucks. Yeah. So our next step up to Dragon Bones cuts it down from 27,000 down to 5.5.
Yeah.
That's way fewer bones. And it's only going to take a little over 2 hours of focus time.
Still 218 trips, which I'm assuming is from your bank to the altar that you can use the bone.
So this method, you would be in Rimington, is the city. That's where the first, the lowest level house portal is for the player-owned houses. There is a specific world that, we'll get into construction specifics with the Falador episode. You go to World 330. There's an NPC that you can talk to and unnote your bones. So what you do is you bring all of the bones you need as notes so they can stack into one inventory spot. You bring a bunch of gold because the guy charges you some gold to turn a note into an item.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pay, it's a couple hundred gold, and you take an inventory's worth of notes and turn those into bones. And then you run over to the house portal, you go into the house, you do the thing at the altar.
Yeah.
You run back out of the portal, you go talk to that guy again, pay him some more gold, turn those notes into bones, rinse and repeat.
Gotcha. Okay. And that is the trip that you're referring to? That is a trip, okay.
Yes. Yeah, so that is like one cycle, essentially.
Let's do that 218 times with Dragon Bones.
With Dragon Bones, to go from level 43 to 77.
Yep.
It'll take you 2.25 hours, give or take, if you're, really paying attention the whole time. Or like 5.5 hours if you're only kind of paying attention.
Yep.
And here we see the cost go up considerably.
Yeah, it more than doubles it, but it does quarter the amount of time that it takes using big bones. So
yeah. And then you'll see we'll just go up to the Dagonoth bones. Those are the best bones you can use below 70 prayer. They are expensive. They come from the Dagonoth King bosses, which I don't think we've talked about. We'll do a mini episode on them someday. But those ones, you're down to like an hour and a half, but you're paying 51 mil.
Yeah. And like the expectation here, and I don't know, I don't play this game, so maybe I'm off base here, but I imagine if you're trying to power level 43 to 77 with bones, you're not out there farming those boss bones 3,000 times.
Unless you're an Iron Man.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I don't do that.
No.
The like temporary game modes, the league that they run, that everyone is an enforced Iron Man account. So I've played one for that, but there's so many other modifiers and multipliers happening in those that it's not really comparable at all.
Okay.
This is where you get stuck if you're not an Iron Man, if you're playing a normal account. This is where people ruin the game for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is prime optimization problem. A lot. Yeah. Because now what we do, now that I've made this chart, because as you've noticed, like, do you want to go get fucking, I don't know, 5,600 dragon bones? You can go kill 5,600 green dragons?
No.
That's going to take forever. Or do you figure out what your best moneymaker is, mm-hmm, and then figure out how many hours you need to do that moneymaker to earn 24 million gold to turn that into dragon bones?
Yeah. And then you just sit there and click for 5.5 hours to get your
dragon bones.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But the trap there is then every single training method in the game gets tied to whatever your best GP per hour method is.
Yep. Okay.
Because you're converting one type of time into another type of time through the medium of gold.
Yep. Man, that's life, ain't it?
Right? Yeah. And that bums you out, and then you don't want to do it anymore.
Then you take an 8-month break, and then find out that your battle staff sold for a lot of money, and then you're back in it.
Exactly. And this is also why I got so interested in flipping items, because that means I can go do whatever the heck I want, and I'm still going to be making money through the Grand Exchange doing brain things instead of time click things.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. And like, that's how I've funded all of my everything, all of Catherine's everything too, for that matter. So yeah, 9.5 mil on the low end, 52 mil on the 51 mil on the high end. If we look at going from level 77, like the next jump, you got all the stuff unlocked. You're like, oh, I'll just max this. Let's go 77 to 99.
Uh huh.
Now you're talking 11.5 million XP instead of 1.4 million XP.
Yeah.
You'll notice we went 34 levels at 1.4 million, and now we're only going 22.
Yep.
And it's 10 times the XP. So now we're talking 76 million in big bones, or I mean, dragon bones are kind of the floor of if you're willing to do things cheaply. Most people don't use big bones because it's tragic.
Yeah.
So even
you would be doing that for 86 hours if you used big bones.
Yeah, there's that
86 hours.
And that's 86 hours paying attention and like not missing a lot of clicks.
Oh.
If you're, you know, 5% less efficient, that 86 starts to go up real quick.
Yeah, it does. That's, I hate this.
This is how you end up chasing XP per hour. And this is why people do like tick manipulation where you're saving, you know, 0.6 seconds per action. Suddenly multiplied out going to a 99 means, oh, that just cut down 12 hours.
Right.
Time.
Woof.
Yeah. So 86 hours, 76 mil. If we look at the very highest one, Superior Dragon Bones, we'll just jump to that one for time's sake here. Those come from Vorkath, the big blue zombie dragon, which we will also do a mini on probably relatively soon. But there, instead of 86 hours, 8.6.
Yeah, that's 10%
that over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, up to, you know, it's just going to cost you a quick 555 mil or so.
Yeah, just a half a billion in gold to make it to 99. Yeah.
Yep.
To do it quick.
Quickly over 8 hours.
The privilege of 8.6 hours.
Yep. So then we could like make this spreadsheet one tier more complicated, where you then put in like what you can earn GP per hour, and we can figure out where these lines on the graph cross to decide which method to go with. The other thing I did, which this is what I sent you the other day because I thought this chart was hilarious, was I kind of plotted these against themselves. And you'll see the market has kind of made this like a pretty flat line.
Yeah.
Outside of the lava dragon bones, which are our lava dragon bones cost more per XP than the others. But those are out in the wilderness, so that's probably why.
That makes sense. Yeah. This chart is called the Bone Efficiency. That was the funniest name
I could think of.
Yeah. It's real. It's real good.
This was the first time I used linear regression, not in a academic setting. So there you go.
Good stuff. You using that degree.
So that being said, this is why if suddenly you inject hundreds of millions or billions of gold into the game, everything shifts weirdly and quickly. And the extra layer to that is you can buy bonds, which, you know, turn gold into membership time. So
I did forget that you can do that. Yep.
Yeah. So people will buy a bond through Jagex's website for human dollars, and then they will go sell that bond on the Grand Exchange for gold. And then whoever bought that can then turn that into 14 days of membership. So you can play this game as a member without giving them human dollars if you're willing to spend in-game currency for it.
Or you could end up selling thousands of human dollars worth of membership time to get superior dragon bones.
And now you see why there is a black market for RuneScape gold.
Yep. Okay.
As well.
Yep. That makes sense.
Yep. this is why the duel arena was such a negative force in a lot of people's lives. Because you could, you know, if you're betting 100 mil on a 1v1 fight, if you can make 100 mil in a couple minutes, then I mean, you've got that 76 mil to buy the big bones right now. That's going to take 86 hours of training. But if you just won like 5 1v1s in a row, it would be less than that. It'd be three 1v1s in a row. You'd be able to buy superior dragon bones, save yourself 79 hours, and still have like 100 mil left over for gear. And it'll take you 10 minutes to go roll those dice, maybe 15.
This is gambling.
Yep.
Dear listener, we do not condone this behavior. Please don't do this.
This is why the duel arena is no longer in the game.
That's good.
We'll do a duel arena episode too, because that's one of my favorite things to talk about, because it's just madness, a special kind of madness. Okay. So, preamble done. We kind of have an idea now of why gold is important and why there suddenly being substantially more gold in the game is a thing that A is hard to track down, and B is going to be kind of detrimental to everybody in the long run.
Yep.
So that brings us to the 12th of July, 2018. There is an update put into the game that adds an item called a coin pouch. A coin pouch is tied to the thieving skill. When the game originally came out, and you would use your thieving skill to go pickpocket NPCs. Makes a ton of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And you pickpocket people and you get some gold from them, and it falls within a range, and it just goes right in your inventory. Unfortunately, to pickpocket people, if you set it up right, you just left click, which means if you can pin an NPC into a corner, either using geometry or using a second account to maybe keep them in combat without killing them.
Yeah.
You can just click the exact same pixel on the screen and continue to get thieving XP until the end of time.
Cool.
Which means you can make a robot click the screen for you.
Yeah.
Just get 99 thieving real quick.
Forever.
So, yeah. Here's our first talk of bots, I think, kind of in use anyway. Auto clickers are like the most basic bot. I think they pretty much all get detected almost immediately at this point. But early on, before bot detection was good, an auto clicker worked, which meant thieving was kind of a nonsense skill if you were willing to cheat. So they had a long think. They were like, okay, how do we defeat the auto clicker without totally screwing up everything for a normal person doing this as intended? And what they came up with was the coin pouch. So the coin pouch works, instead of getting that gold directly into your inventory, you get a singular coin pouch in your inventory that already knows how many gold pieces you would have received from that pickpocket.
Okay.
Does that track at all? So instead of getting 5 gold on your first pickpocket and 3 gold on your second pickpocket, you would get 2 coin pouches. If you open the coin pouches, then the 8 gold would pop out.
Oh, okay. So every click of an NPC just gets you a coin pouch.
Correct.
Okay.
And they stack into one inventory spot. But here's the part that fixes it, hopefully. You can't have more than 28 coin pouches without opening them.
Okay.
So after your 28th pickpocket, you have to move your mouse from wherever the NPC on the screen is over to your inventory, left click, open them, and then they turn into a stack of gold.
Okay.
And then you go and you pickpocket them again, and you can go up to 28 again, open them back up, and then that adds into your stack of gold again.
That seems like a mostly viable fix.
Yeah. Totally reasonable solution. You're adding, what, maybe a half a second per 28 pickpockets to a normal player's method. So you're not going to mess with XP rates too much. A little bit, but not too much. And that defeats the auto clicker because it can't just click in the same spot every time. It's got to move.
Right.
And also there's a, I think we've covered achievement diaries a little bit or mentioned them in passing. One of the city's achievement diaries allows you to stack up more than 28 coin pouches all the way up to over 100 if you have the highest tier.
Okay.
The assumption is if you have a well-rounded account that has completed all these tasks, you're probably not using an auto clicker at this point.
Sure.
So all that seems like a great idea. I think, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on board with this.
Yeah. So they do this update. Goes into effect. Game comes back up. And some things go wrong.
Oh no.
Some things go real bad. Real bad in a hurry. They had coded the coin pouches to turn into stacks of gold if another player kills you. So if you're out in the wilderness where player versus player combat can happen and you're pickpocketing NPCs and you have, say you have 100,000 gold pieces that you've already pickpocketed and you have 22 coin pouches and then someone comes and kills you, another player, they would normally get everything in your inventory. So instead of giving them coin pouches, what the game does is it just turns those coin pouches into gold as though you had opened them, and then it drops it on the ground.
Okay. I mean, that kind of makes sense. Like, you wouldn't want to carry over. Like, there's logic involved in that when you could just turn it into a thing that doesn't take up a slot.
Exactly. But that introduces a potential issue that we have talked about in a very old episode, in a not RuneScape episode. What do you think would happen if you already have, let's just say, I don't know, 2,147,483,647 coins on you, and you have a few coin pouches on you as well, and then somebody kills you?
Does your thermostat crash and then you can't heat your house anymore? Does this crash the server?
It does not crash the server. So they had thought of this. Whoever coded this thought of this eventuality. For those who have not listened to what did we title that?
Year 2038.
Yeah. Year 2038. So we are talking about integer limits again here. So a 32-bit signed integer is that's the max value there, the 2.147 billion. That comes up in RuneScape often. That's the most a number can be in the game. So they wrote a check to do this. Someone thought of this ahead of time and said, hey, we don't want that integer to overflow, so we're going to write a little bit of code that checks to see if turning the coin pouches into gold would cause that gold stack to exceed 2.147 billion.
Yeah, because otherwise there's like multiple different ways that can go but it either goes completely negative, right? Or it crashes everything, or you have no gold anymore.
Yeah. Depending on how the error handling is done, one of a number of very bad unintentional things happen.
It could flip
negative 2.14 billion. I don't know what would happen if you had a negative amount of gold in your inventory. I assume the engine can't handle that, in which case it may crash. Or maybe they have planned for that accidentally happening in some point, and there's some mitigation steps in place. But either way, bad. It's bad.
Yeah.
So they knew this, though. They were clever. They said, hey, this is a potential thing that could, this is an interaction that could happen. So let's write a specific case in here to check to make sure that isn't going to happen. Now, the rest of this, I'm piecing together a little bit from tweets from employees. And they've tipped their hand a little bit. They tell quite a bit about when things go wrong. Typically, they give a really good breakdown. But obviously, I don't get to see the actual code itself.
Sure.
So I can't tell you definitively. My assumption is the solution was then to just replace that stack with 2.147 billion. So if you already had max cash and you opened a coin pouch, the coin pouches would disappear. You wouldn't get any more gold. That's my guess. That's probably the fix that I would do also.
Yeah, because also the amount of even 100 coin pouches is negligible. You're probably not getting hundreds of thousands of gold out of that.
Yeah, and even if you are, you've done stupid things to get there. Yeah. Screw that. Doesn't matter. That's a rounding error. No one who has 2 billion will be upset by it working that way.
Yeah.
So that seems like a totally reasonable fix. Unfortunately, there were some unintended consequences. I would have assumed that you would write this fix to maybe only check the coin pouches and the gold stacks. But again, I have not seen the code, so who knows? Either way, this check that goes through applies to every item in the inventory that is stacked, I believe. Yes, that's it. So any item that you're holding where there are multiple of quantities in one inventory slot, this check happens when you die. And here's where our bug comes in. So remember my guess that it would just replace the stack with max cash if it overflowed?
Yeah.
The bug caused every stackable item that wasn't gold to turn into max cash when you died.
Oh, that's real bad.
Yeah.
That's because how many slots can you have?
28.
And if you're in the wilderness, you're probably loaded up on healing items and...
Yeah, I mean, arrows, knives, any ammunition, runes for casting spells, those are all stackable.
Yeah, armor swaps. Oh, yeah, yep, stackable stuff, yeah, okay.
Yep, so, I mean, and you wouldn't be able to turn all of them into individual stacks of 2 billion gold, because that would still overflow, because it's going to try to put all of the gold into one inventory slot.
Yeah.
And it's going to discard everything above max integer value, above the 2.147 billion.
So if you die and have any amount of stacked stuff,
you've now dropped 2 billion coins on the ground that never existed in the game prior to that.
Incredible.
Death. And the person who killed you gets it.
Yeah. That's real bad.
It's real bad.
That's super bad. Okay.
So if we take that math and how quickly those 2 billion are generated across, 80,000 concurrent players as they realize what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's not a whoopsies. We're talking about 2018. That is a Reddit thread the first time someone is hey, I just picked up 2 billion gold off of this dude I killed, and there's no way this dude was carrying around 2 billion in the PvP area. That's crazy.
Yep. So yeah, Reddit posts, Twitch streams, all that stuff's happening in real time there. So yeah, and people shouted it out on Twitter to the devs immediately as well. So they took the servers down, gosh, within like 20 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay, that is a much faster response than I had expected. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So they found out pretty quick and immediately just pulled the plug. It wasn't like a we know how to fix it 20 minutes. It was just shut the whole engine down.
Yep.
And then we'll figure out what's going on, because this is only going to get more irreconcilable than it is to start with.
Yeah. Oh, but those people in that beautiful, beautiful 20 minutes, or I guess the beautiful 18 minutes.
Yeah.
Pulled the plug. Because I'm assuming this is also the snapshot thing too, where if you got that 2 billion gold logged out, that's on your account.
So yes and no. Yes, it would work that way. They rolled it back 20 minutes to avoid that.
Okay.
So they went back
even further
to the previous rollback point before the update went live.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. So you just want to wind the clock back before the bad thing started to happen, and then hopefully that mitigates everything. So they knock the entire game offline within 20 minutes, and then immediately start trying to figure out even if they can do a rollback, because again, a full system-wide rollback has never happened before.
Right. And how many servers are there?
That's a good question. I will tell you right now. There are... You're not gonna just give me a name? Like 100? Over 100, maybe? A lot. There's a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
There is... Oh, yeah, I can just count these like an old person. 278.
Yeah.
Not all of them are like normal activity. Call it 250?
Sure.
Some of them are free to play. Some of them are members. Most of them are members. A lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just pull the plug, shut them down, and then...
Shut the whole thing down.
Programmatically roll it back.
Mm-hmm. And you have to try to like restore databases, I'm assuming, to the exact state they were 20 minutes ago, which took them like 6 hours, give or take.
Still faster than I expected.
Yeah. There were some extended effects. There were some profiles that like got locked in some way on the back end during this rollback, and those people were still not able to log in, but they had a like notification system in place. So if you were one of the people whose account became like temporarily broken by this rollback, the first time you tried to log in, it would go to an inbox somewhere at Jagex, mm-hmm. and then a human would have to go and manually unlock your account. But the player did not have to take any proactive action.
Okay.
All that stuff got pushed through on the back end. And that took, I don't know, like a day maybe for the longest. I'm trying to remember. I was playing when this happened. It wasn't too bad. And there weren't a lot of accounts that had to be manually fixed like that either. But they also had to take off the RuneScape 3. Got knocked down for a bit as well in this process of the rollback. So the other RuneScape game that is live, they didn't have to knock those servers off, but they did have to take down their entire like login infrastructure, and that's shared between the two games.
That makes sense, so I guess.
Yeah, if you were already logged into RS3, you could stay locked in. Yep, but if you got logged out, you wouldn't be able to get back in until the maintenance was completed.
That sucks. That sucks. Way faster than I had expected them to fix that and notice it, but that is
right.
That is a catastrophic failure. Whoops.
Yeah. And think about like we've talked about like some drop rates and stuff in this game. Some things are in the like, you know, 1 in 5,000 is not uncommon for pet drop rates. There are some very useful items that have like a 1 in 5,000 drop rate as well. So there are people who got things in that 20 minutes there that that then subsequently just lost
vaporized. Them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah.
And there's just not a great way to fix that.
No.
So those people get the shaft on that one. Yeah. The flip side of that, though, is if you are a hardcore account who has one life and you died.
Oh, you get it back.
Roll back.
You never happened.
It never happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, there's some wash over on both sides of that equation. Yeah,
give and take. Okay.
Yeah.
Imagine so how many hardcore accounts were trying to get 2 billion gold right then and there. Yeah.
Yep.
Gambling with that one life and they lucked out.
There was at least one YouTuber, Nine Rain, I'm pretty sure, had a hardcore account got rolled back during that time. Either, I can't remember if it was from the coin pouch glitch or the next one we're going to talk about that his rollback happened. Yeah, I think that's basically everything that happened coin pouch wise. So they were able to fix it pretty quickly, same day. And I don't think there was much in terms of long-term effects with the way the rollback was done. I'm pretty sure all that gold is gone, or at least most of it. They did ban some people. So if you like abuse the heck out of it and then bought a bunch of bonds for free membership, those people caught temporary or permanent bans, depending on what they did.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, they're like pretty straightforward about like, hey, if you do a thing to the game that isn't how the game is supposed to work, and you keep doing it specifically for your gain in a way that's not supposed to be possible, then that counts as bug abuse.
Yeah, that's naughty. Don't do that, please.
Whether it's a result of us doing a dumb thing or not, you still did the malicious thing after we did the dumb thing.
Right. So, you knew what you were doing.
Yep. And that is going to come into play with our next one here. Next and final for today. And this is the Twisted Bow glitch. Or bug, depending on how you want to characterize it. This one's extra dumb. We've talked about the Twisted Bow a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. It is a very expensive bow. And that's really all we need to know for the purpose of this discussion. Is at the time, it was the most expensive item in the game. 1.1 billion gold was its value.
Yeah, that's sizable. Okay.
On this will be February 28th, 2019. So we've gone from zero rollbacks in the first 5 years to two in like 6 months or so, which is rough.
Yeah, that's not great.
Not a great arc, at least. Not a good trajectory. They've definitely gotten better from there. This one is not going to be as complicated either. So there was a employee. I'm almost positive I know who it was, since they've kind of talked about it, but not really. But there's not really a reason we need to use this person's name. So we'll just say there was an employee on the art team who for some reason got access to the mapping tool. So, like, the internal tool that they use to build Gilanor.
Okay. Like,
to create the environment. And what they were doing at the time was adding a map icon, I want to say. Like, just like a sign on the mini-map. Not even a thing in-game. And while they were doing this, I'm going to assume it was maybe demonstrating the map editor or just dicking around is the other possibility. This individual dropped an item spawn a little outside of the area that they were monitoring. So they were adding a icon to the minimap in the farming guild for the Hispori boss. And then this person also dropped an item spawn outside of the farming guild, out to the west of it. And that item spawn was a twisted bow. Just
Just sitting out there?
Just on the ground.
Okay.
Here's a screenshot from that day that a kind user took. And you can see there's just a
bow on the ground.
Just the rarest item in the game, just on the ground. You could, if you look in their inventory in slots 2 and 5, they have 2 twisted bows.
Yeah, I see some stuff in the chat here about a mystical bow carved from the twisted remains of the Great Olm. And that has appeared 3 times.
Yes. And you'll see their username there, and they have a little silver helmet next to their name. And that means this account is an Iron Man. The twisted bow comes from a raid at the very end of the game. And if you're an Iron, that's the only way to get the thing. If you're an Iron Man, you can't buy it. So this is an Iron Man account who has never participated in this raid a single time, and they now have 3 mega rares. If you pick it up, it goes in your inventory, respawns 60 seconds later on the ground. Pick it up.
Oh, boy. Respawns
60 seconds later. Yeah.
I mean, that's cool. Good for this dude, but...
Right.
Whoops.
And this was, since this was done in the map editor, this is on every server. Everywhere.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, I'm just gonna show it to you now that I think about it. I have a farming cape. It'll take me half a second to get there. And you'll see why this didn't get caught initially, I think. And I'll show you where the thing they were trying to do was, that they actually changed, and where the thing they accidentally changed was. Okay, so here we are in the farming guild.
Yep.
Right here is the cave to the Hespori. This is off to the west. And you can see the mini map in the upper right corner here. We can see most of the farming guild, but not all of it. And this is where they were supposed to be making their update. And they did make the update. They changed the things that they had to change here for the Hespori update that was happening. And then the twisted bow got dropped outside of the farming guild. Outside of the eastern wall of the farming guild.
Yeah, so nowhere near the...
Way over here. And if you aren't using, like, rune light and forcing rendering through GPU, these things are not within the same draw distance of each other.
Okay.
It's right where this bush is, actually, is where the spawn was. So this isn't like a really common place for a player to be. I don't know how many times I've physically been over here. Not a ton. Sometimes you end up at this fairy ring to the northeast, but you then travel northeast from that fairy ring. There's not a lot of reasons you would ever come over here.
Wait, that, hang on. That bush is exactly where that twisted bow was. That bush
is exactly where that twisted bow was. You are correct. I'll show you why in a moment. This is intentional.
Okay.
So they did not initially take the servers offline for this. They employed a hotfix pretty quickly. Software speak, a hotfix is an update that you apply while the thing is still running. Mm-hmm. So normally you would turn off whatever machine you're working on, apply the update, and then go from there. This one, they were able to change some code quickly and propagate that out without having to kick everyone off the game. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And what they did was this. The first thing they did was change that specific item, so if you picked it up, it deleted itself from your inventory. They weren't able to hotfix remove the item. For spaghetti reasons. Who knows how that stuff works on the back end? Maybe removing things requires the map editor in ways that means the server can't be online. That's my best guess. But they were able to change it in a way that if you picked up that twisted bow, it would disappear. So that was step one. Step two, they added in these stumps around it. I just sent you another screenshot from that day.
Oh,
so they put 4 chop down trees all around it, so you couldn't physically get to it. And the way they're positioned, it also blocks the teleblock spell, because you need a certain type of line of sight for teleblock to work. Okay. Or not teleblock, sorry, telegrab. There's like a spell with law runes you can use where you can grab an item at a distance and put it directly in your inventory.
Amazing.
So you're not able to do that anymore. You're not able to physically get to it anymore.
Okay.
They took the servers offline. The plan initially was to not do a rollback. That was the goal. The hotfix took, I think, half an hour or so for the first one, and then like another hour before, yeah, another half an hour, sorry, to get the telegrab hotfix in. And they're at the time on Twitter, the devs were saying like, hey, here's our plan. We're going to like turn it off for a minute. Finally, like actually delete these things. And we have all of the item IDs, so we'll just go through and manually delete all of the twisted bows.
Okay.
There weren't as many because this was not as widespread of an issue as the coin pouch glitch, because that just required you to die with it, things in your inventory, which happens often. This required people to go to a specific, somewhat off the beaten path spot.
Yeah. Like maximum, there's probably 7,500 of them out there.
Yeah, who knows? So that was the plan. They're like, cool, we'll figure out how many bows came in, who picked them up, where they went, if they sold them. We got to go track that down. And as they started to go through this process, after about an hour, they came back and they were like, hey, everybody, we're going to go ahead and roll that servers. Because yikes, this is a nightmare. Because like another piece of that is like that Iron Man account we saw picked up a twisted bow. Now you have an Iron Man who shouldn't have a twisted bow, and they have an hour to go use it.
Yeah.
So like how many, and if you think, you know, that thing gets sold on the Grand Exchange immediately, and now someone has 1.1 billion gold, and then they go and they buy all of those dragon bones from the poor schmuck that killed 7,000 green dragons.
Yep.
Because they're going to go do their prayer training.
Yep.
That guy who sold the bones, what, like, he doesn't have anything to do with this. So, like, do you just remove the bones? If the bones have already been used, do you try to, like, scroll back XP on someone's account? It turns into just this
whole... Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Like, yeah, never-ending maze of trying to track down every little individual gold piece that... And you have to, or otherwise you're going to cause... Who knows what kind of crazy inflation if suddenly there's billions upon billions of gold that normally shouldn't exist being generated all at once.
Yeah. Yeah, that's no good. Okay, so they let it go for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then rolled it back?
Yep. Rolled it back to, again, before the patch went live.
Yeah, so that's just like minutes ticking by as those...
Yes.
Like that spider webs out and makes everything worse.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All while you have like your devs sitting in a room with the infrastructure people trying to figure out how to stop this train that's already run away.
Yeah. Like we're no longer at the point where we're trying to delete bows from people's accounts. Like we are. Yeah. We cannot do that.
Yep.
So is this bush a memorial to the twisted bow? Twisted
bush is in fact a memorial. If we right click on it, we have examine text here, which everything in the game basically has examine text. We get looks a bit gnarly as our examine text. And we have a search option as well. Hmm. So we can search the twisted bush and we don't find anything.
Please tell me there's like a 1 in a billion chance it gives you a twisted bow.
As a bookend on this, the anniversary of the twisted bow. The twisted bush here. So 1 year after the glitch happened.
It happened on leap day.
Oh, it did, didn't it? I didn't even notice that. Yeah.
They did it on purpose.
Probably. So 1 year past that date, a tweet went out from one of the devs that said, hey, there's currently a known issue northeast of the Farming Guild. Do not go there until we can fix this. No one go northeast of the Farming Guild.
Definitely don't do that.
Definitely no one go there. It's broken. We're working on it. So obviously people start going there. And what they find was the Twisted Bush showed up for the first time. And then a bunch of the devs were in game and had disguised their players as Twisted Bows. So there'd be a stack of what were actually player characters, but looked like Twisted Bows on the ground.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, they're known for some funny business once in a while.
That's fun. I like that. I still would like it to be a slot machine, but I appreciate why it's not that.
There are a few slot machines in the game, but I'm glad that none of them, you know, dump out a billion coins at random and ruin the economy.
Yeah, that'd be bad. It's very funny to me that there's this building over here and then just a random bush that if you
random bush
had no idea of this weird, weird thing that happened on Leap Day in 2019, mm-hmm. it would just be a bush.
There's a handful. We'll do a mini episode maybe on the like in-game items that are inspired by real life events, because there's a few, maybe five or so. So yeah, that is I think that's where we'll leave it for now. I think those are the more interesting and or funny ones. And that'll give us a jumping off point eventually for the Falador Massacre, which includes some more bugs.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, I enjoy that. It's always nice to see how these things break and how people end up dealing with it. I'm still surprised that there is only 8 of these rollbacks in total so far.
They've done a decent job. I mean, there's definitely been like a lot of broken things and unintentional things and a lot of stuff that makes it to production that you wouldn't want there. But I think on the whole, they deserve far more credit than they get. The worst type of RuneScape player is the one who usually reacts to them on Twitter, and it's miserable. And I hate that, but that's most of live service gaming at this point, it seems, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's most of Twitter also these days.
Yeah, true.
Unfortunately. Yeah,
so.
All right. Awesome. I think that is an episode then. Now's the part where we do the outro. GordonHepburger.com is the place to go for links, words, videos, stuff like that. We have started our spooky season playthrough of Sherlock Holmes The Awakened. So there's hour and a half, 2 hours of that up on our YouTube channel right now. And maybe we will be doing some more of that. We have not got to the Cthulhu yet, so we need to at least get to that. What else? Our music is by Nick Cahill, and please rate and review the show. We would appreciate that. I like it. Everyone likes a pat on the back. If you don't like the show, don't tell us. But otherwise, leave us a nice review. And I think that is it. We will be back next time with another Codex entry on perhaps a massacre that happens in Falador or a weird rock in a game that is fun. See ya.
Bye.